This is Culture Shock 1913, the podcast series. I'm Sarah Fischko. The podcasts are produced by Laura Mayer. Culture Shock 1913, the hour-long special program, premieres on December 6th, with more airings to follow. Until then, we're looking at things we couldn't cram into the hour. In this podcast, the ascent of poetry in 1913. In 1913, modernism was pushing Victorian imagery to the side. Soft paintings and flowery writings slid away to reveal sharper forms. Abstraction reigned supreme, with particular focus on fragmented portions of a whole. And sentences split apart, zeroing in on one of the most fundamental fragments, the word.
It marked a moment in which a different kind of poetry breaks into the public sphere.
Carrie Nelson, editor of the Anthology of Modern American Poetry, says poetry's profile rose in 1913 alongside a new style of verse.
Sometimes much more concise, sometimes much more chiseled, certainly not romantic, certainly not religious, certainly not patriotic. It breaks with a lot of long-term Victorian thematics that were very visible and popular. It marked something different.
Many magical names took to this new wave of poetry and published work at this moment. Williams, Lawrence, Yeats, Frost, Ezra Pound. This is Pound's The Gypsy, written in 1912.
That was the top of the walk when he said, have you seen any others, any of our lot, with apes or bears? A brown upstanding.
And in 1911, Gertrude Stein wrote her poem Matisse.
One was quite certain that for a long part of his being one being living, he had been trying
poet
to be
poet and theorist
he was
Charles
wrong,
Bernstein.
In this modernist period, Stein is using absolutely ordinary American works. She's thinking of creating works that are comparable to quilting as much as to abstract painting, taking different swatches of found materials of words and quilting them together to make patterns.
This one was one very many were knowing some, and very many were glad to meet him. Very many sometimes listened to him. Some listened to him very often. There were some who listened to it.
Part of this poetry moment was also the popularity of live readings of verse. Culture consumers wanted to hear poems as well as see them. Vachel Lindsay's The Congo.
In the teens and the 20s, you have newspaper stories about Lindsay giving poetry readings in front of large audiences. He had a handful of popular poems, which are actually poems that he published in 1913. And they became hugely popular. I mean, he could give a poetry reading every week in a different city if he wanted to.
Later on, Lindsay's output progressed into subtler, nature-themed verses, which he tried to perform as well.
But if he tried to read those, the audience would begin to yell, "Read the Congo!"
So, poems were beginning to become part of the popular culture. The poetry world was written up more frequently in newspapers.
They devote their entire front page to poetry. You're getting very elaborate advertising poems. They were issued sometimes in editions of 100,000. Because they're advertising large quantities.
And readers were taking note and making clippings.
If you research sort of ordinary lives during that period of time, up through the 1930s, you find a remarkable number of people who keep poetry scrapbooks.
Halfway through the year, the New York Times caught on to the trend, cementing the rise of poetry as a genuine cultural theme. Fiction is a drug on the market, the Times declared. What people want to read is poetry. And so they did, in that banner year for all varieties of culture. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.